In an episode of The Simpsons, cleverly titled The Father, Son, and Holy Guest Star, Bart and Homer convert to Catholicism. Now, not only is this kind of a funny episode to begin with, but it has such great one-liners. One of them is, once you go Vatican, you can't go back again. And Marge, frustrated with what was going on, said, I don't get those Catholics with their sitting, standing, and kneeling. It's like Simon Says without a winner. Nevertheless, in the midst of this episode, Marge, frustrated about what had happened, tells Reverend Lovejoy that, I don't know what to do. They're with the Catholic Church. What should we do? And so Reverend Lovejoy calls a parish council. And as they're meeting, he warns Marge, saying, by the way, a different branch of Christianity means a different afterlife. So Marge starts pondering what an afterlife would be like. And she starts out in Protestant heaven, where they're playing croquet, and they're very fine and refined, and they're having this nice little get-together as they're enjoying heaven. And so she says, well, where's Bart and Homer? And they said, oh, he's over there in Catholic heaven. And they pan over to Catholic heaven, where the Italians are drinking and eating, and the Irish are in a fight with each other. And then after all this eating and drinking and fighting, they all get together with this big block of people, and Irish dance together. That's the image of Catholic heaven. And then as she's upset by this, she said, well, I want to talk to Jesus. And the Protestants say, oh, he's over there. They pan over to Catholic heaven, where Jesus is on this bedsheet, and they're throwing him up in the air. Regardless, so often we picture heaven in very strange terms like this big party in the sky. Well, if we think of heaven as a big party in the sky, it's going to get boring really fast. There's only so much partying we can really do before we're pretty much done with that. And some people think of it as this place of eternal rest, where you just, like, sleep for eternity. I don't know what that one looks like. Or this the big guy in the sky, where it's just all white and clouds and whatnot. Well, today, I want to ponder the mystery of heaven, and I want you to do the same. Because if we don't have the right things attached to it, it becomes really a drag. And we have to wonder, why would I ever want to go there? But to start out with, I want to go to our first reading today from one of the most pivotal books in the Old Testament, especially on the topic of resurrection, the books of Maccabees. The books of Maccabees tell the story of these seven brothers. Actually, there's several stories in it, but the one for today is the story of the seven brothers, a very heart-wrenching story and a very also heroic story. We got just a taste of it, so I want to fill in the rest so you can get a sense of why this reading is so critical for us. The story of the seven brothers starts out with these seven brothers who, with their mother, is being forced by the Greeks to disobey the Jewish laws. Basically, they're forced to eat pork. And one by one, they all say no. The Greek commander of the army, frustrated by this, comes to them one after another as they're all lined up with their mother and said, eat pork or die. The first one says, no, I will not abandon the laws of my ancestors. You can kill me. So he kills them right there in front of his six brothers and their mother. Goes to the second one, said, I did that to the first. Imagine what I could do to you. Are you going to continue to be against the law, be against the Greeks and follow Jewish laws? And he said, yes, I'm not going to abandon the faith of my ancestors. So he kills him. Second one. Goes down the line, one after another, till he gets to the seventh brother. And he says, look, we can make a deal here. I don't have to kill your entire lineage. You can just, like, act like you're doing it. It doesn't have to be that way. And so out of frustration, he turns to the mother and said, convince your son. Do you really want to see all your sons die? The mother comes up to her son and speaks Hebrew and says to him, I'm the one that bore you for 9 months. I'm the one that raised you. I'm the one that cared for you. Don't defect from the faith, whatever you do. I'd rather see you die than renounce the faith of our fathers. And so, speaking in Hebrew, made the commander very upset. And he said, what did she say to you? He said, I'm not going to defect from my faith, even if you kill me. So here, this poor mother had to watch all seven of her sons die because of their faith. I think she was the most heroic one of the eight of them, having seen that happen. But in the midst of this story, the first reading for today paints a very interesting picture. Because for a Jewish person, there is no resurrection. There's no afterlife. It's all the here and now. They follow the laws strictly to be blessed in this life. That's the whole point of it. There's nothing else. Once you die, you're dead. There's inklings throughout the Old Testament. But this is the first time in all of Scripture they start to really ponder an afterlife. And even the brothers say things like, well, if you chop off my hand, I'll get it back, right? God's going to give me back my hand. I'll be fully restored in heaven. What difference does this make right now? And that's what's so insightful about these seven brothers. They weren't thinking about following the laws now as being blessed in this life. They saw following the laws now as blessing them in the life to come. That's a remarkable transformation and something that we need to ponder. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He wants us to live forever. So in that way, how do we characterize heaven? What do we think will happen? A lot of people think that when we get to heaven, we get our bodies back in this beautiful, wonderful way in the prime of our lives. And then I ask you, what is the prime of our lives? Is it when we're in our 20s, 30s, 60s, 80s, 90s, 100s? What is the prime? What do we want to be like? And this is where the saints, and especially Jesus, challenge that notion. When Jesus came back from the dead, how did he look? Did he look like he was in his prime of his 30s, fully fit and ready to go? No, he had the marks of his crucifixion. They didn't go away. Even to the point where not only could they put their fingers in the nail marks, but Thomas put his hand in his side. Kind of gross to think of, to regardless, but to make a point, these marks don't go away. Even the great saints, some of them would all be almost be hysterical in heaven, like St. Bartholomew. He was flayed alive. They skinned him alive as his torture before he died. I bet you, beyond doubt, that in heaven, he's going to be walking around carrying his skin with him wherever he goes. Why? Because that's how he glorified God. That was his greatest moment of triumph. Why would he want to erase that? Or like St. Denis, who, having preached and made people mad, they cut off his head, so he picked it up and walked for 5 more miles while continuing to preach. I bet you in heaven he'll be carrying his head around as his great triumph. Look what I did for you, God. This is my greatest gift. So in that way, even the book of Revelation makes this point clear. We will be resurrected in the way we best glorified God in this life, because that's the greatest gift we can give him, however we glorified him now. And yeah, we'll be fit and be able to do stuff and whatnot. That's really inconsequential. Heaven is about us being able to give ourselves over to God completely, fully. Which is why the truth of heaven seems so radically boring for people. What are we going to do in heaven? Worship God. Yeah, I understand why most people think, why on earth would I want to do that? That sounds so boring. A whole afterlife of just sitting there praying and bowing down all the time? Well, here's the problem. And I'm going to characterize it in a new way. For people my age, we think of marriage today as kind of an annoyance. Why would I get married and be stuck with the same person for my entire life? That sounds like a horrible idea. And if I talk to you who are more advanced in years and have been through marriage longer, you would say, why would I do otherwise? See the perspective change? From our point of view right now, it doesn't make sense because we haven't gone to the depths of prayer. We haven't really experienced what it's like to be, to feel God's love in its fullest, to really give ourselves entirely to God. And so heaven makes no sense. Why would I want to do that when that doesn't feel good right now? Which is a big challenge to us. I want to tell one more little, I can't call it a joke or a story, adage. I don't know what to call it, but it'll make my point clearer. A person told this to me yesterday, and I thought it was very insightful. Two men were in a conversation, and as they're talking, the one said, I don't know about this death thing. What's going to happen after I die? I'm kind of worried about it. The other guy said, yeah, I guess we're going to go to heaven and be there for eternity. Well, why would I want that? That sounds like a terrible idea. And then as they were talking, he opened the door and his dog ran in. He was so happy to see him, wagging his tail very excitedly. He said, see this dog? He's not allowed in this room. He's never been here before. He doesn't know what it looks like. But he's happy because he's where his master is. Think about that for us too. We will be happy if we're where our master is, the God who loves us. That's what heaven is really about. That's why it's so hard for us to characterize now, because we haven't felt it that way, which is our challenge. Heaven isn't something that eventually we just kind of fall into. We can prepare for it now, here and now, by the way we live our lives, by the way we direct our attention, by even how much we pray and focus on God. Because right now we start to develop that relationship. We start to come to know who God is. We start to feel his love. We start to let him take precedence in our life. So the Master, the God of all creation, when we meet him, it becomes a great joy for us. So I challenge you, reflect on this. What is your image of heaven? What do you think will happen? What do you really want? And how do you direct your life? How do you live it in such a way where you're ready to meet the God of all creation? You're ready to meet the one who created you, the one who loves you, the one who wants you, who calls you to himself, and wants you to have the greatest joy of all, which is our ability to worship him and explore his creation in such a way where we can glorify him in everything. Because that is what we ultimately do want. And that is what heaven will be like.